Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Battlefield Expressions. I'm Rob Burrows, director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and Navy CB veteran, 23 years, United States Navy, and two combat tours in Iraq. And I am your host this morning. Thank you for being with us this morning as we talk about our veterans and our community and as we move forward. And if you're listening outside the area, we have an absolutely beautiful morning here in Northern California. Beautiful temperatures, about 65 degrees out there, beautiful blue sky, some light clouds. And this morning, as the sun came up, it was an absolutely beautiful orange sunrise. And so we are so thankful to live here in Northern California. As that sun rose, it was Mount Shasta was just a brilliant pink and orange as the snow reflected the sunlight. And so I'm grateful and thankful to be here in Northern California. Every opportunity I have every day, I wake up and go outside and enjoy our valley and the mountains and our lakes and our streams and our rivers. And very thankful once again. I've been all over the world and so grateful to come back and call Cottonwood, California, my home here in Northern California, and to enjoy the freedoms that we have every single day. The freedoms and the beauty and the opportunity to live here across the United States. I think that Northern California here in our Shasta, Tehama, Trinity, Lassen counties is one of the most beautiful places and greatest opportunities for us to live, especially with our way of life and just be able to enjoy. People come from all over the world to visit here, and we are blessed to live here, right here in this jewel of Northern California. You know, a couple of weeks ago, actually it was a couple of months ago, I had a guest on. His name was Robert Logan. He was a United States Army Air Corps pilot at the very end of World War II and then coming into the Korean War. And we spoke with him for the entire program, and he talked about his service. 93 years old at that time, and his birthday was January 14th. And he passed away a couple of days after his birthday this last week. And so we just wanted to do a remembrance for Robert Logan, an American hero. He was an ace during the Korean War, flying the F-80s against the communist Chinese and then the North Koreans at that time. And what a privilege it is. Every time I have an opportunity to have a veteran such as himself come into the museum and to donate his items with his family while they're still living, and to be able to talk with him, sit down and talk with him at the conference table there in the museum offices, and to chat with him about the pictures that he has and his service. And that's where I glean the opportunity to bring them onto the radio program and be able to have them share their story with you also. Because it's so important for us to hear the story and the trials and the tribulations and the struggles of these individuals who served our nation, who wore the uniform, who fought the enemy, and then made it home to be able to live their lives here in our own communities. and then to be able to share that. You know, I was thinking back, my father was a World War II veteran. I've talked about him before. He was a World War II. He was an armed guard on the Liberty and the Victory ships during World War II, served in the South Pacific against the Japanese. And my father bought a 76 gas station after he came back from the war. And he had it for 35 to almost 40 years before he retired. And as a kid growing up in that gas station, I mean, I grew up my entire life was in that gas station, learning how to turn a wrench and do tires and wash windows. I mean, that back when it was a real gas station, back when gasoline was like 65 cents a gallon. How long ago was that? 50 years ago, 60 years ago. Most of his customers were World War II veterans. And I did not know that till I became a teenager and started to talk to some of these men as they would come in, get their cars worked on. They'd stand around and talk with Dad, and they didn't really talk about the war. But I knew that there was a camaraderie there. I knew that there was something else that was there. These guys weren't just customers of my dad's. These guys were veterans of a particular, and I don't want to call it a club or a sorority or something like that, but they had served together in a likeness to conquer the enemies of the world during World War II. Didn't matter what branch they served in. It didn't matter if they were serving in Europe against the Nazis or if they were in the South Pacific against the Japanese. And as I recall and look back at these World War II veterans, these men, and at that time they were in their 50s, you know, and I'm just a kid at about 14 or 15 years old, and I'm thinking, then that's ancient. You know, at that age, you just think that everybody that's, you know, older than 30 is old. And, you know, and I'm getting ready to come up on 60, so I'm still in the prime of my life, I hope. And as we move forward, and I think to myself, it'd only been 25, 30 years since World War II when I was a kid. And these men were still living World War II at that time. I mean, it's any war that you go to, it never just stops. You continue to live it in your mind and in your heart. I used to beg my father to tell me about the Navy, about where he served and about what he did. And even when I became a second-class petty officer, I figured, okay, now I've finally made a second-class petty officer. My dad's going to go sit down and talk with him, everything else. And even as a second-class petty officer in the United States Navy talking to my dad, I still could not get him to step forward and to tell his stories. And it was always very frustrating to me, that here I am as a kid, you know, his son, I'm in the Navy. I felt that I had earned some right. I mean, I made some rite of passage by being in the Navy and becoming a second class petty officer and being able to sit down and talk with my father who served. And I still could not get my father to share those stories. And as I look back at these other World War II veterans, and we talk to them, have talked to them through Honor Flight and through our other programs, it just always makes me wonder about the hurt and the pain and the experiences that they had and the loss of life and the death that they saw, and that it was traumatic enough to where they kept it to themselves. And maybe when they came back on the ships from overseas, they said to ourselves, this is so traumatic that maybe we shouldn't tell our families all these different things that took place. They don't need to know the horrific things that we saw, the horrific things that were done, the sinking, smoking, flaming ships in the sea, and the blown up villages and cities and towns in Europe, and the death and the destruction of war. And of the Holocaust, and of the concentration camps, and all of these different things. Maybe we shouldn't tell them about all these horrific things, so they don't have to experience what we experienced. But you know, I honestly believe that we as veterans need to tell these stories, no matter how painful they are to us, and no matter how painful they are to our families, because if people don't know the reality of life, then they guess. And unfortunately, in our society, the only way they guess is if they don't read a book that talks about the biography or the autobiography of a veteran who served in those combat zones. Then they watch a movie, and a movie is a fantasy. It does not tell them the story. It does not tell them the reality. It doesn't show the fear on the face. It doesn't show the trembling of the voice. It doesn't share that experience of the veteran, man or woman, who's sitting or standing in front of you talking about that experience, as their eyes glaze over and they disappear into those thoughts. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's get rid of honey. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but it ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only about it, God can't about it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
My children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we've been talking about our World War II veterans. And I was at a funeral yesterday out at the Igo Veterans Cemetery, and I was walking through the headstones and reading the names of the different veterans who served their country and those that gave their lives. And it didn't matter whether they served overseas or not, or if they served in the United States. They wore the uniform of the United States, whatever branch it may have been. And it was a name and a rank in World War II, and a name and a rank in World War II, and there was men, and there was women, and most of the women that I saw were nurses, and the men were from all different branches who served during that time frame, along with all the other veterans that were there, but so many of our World War II veterans that served and came back. And when I first came back from Iraq, I was at Balboa Naval Hospital for 6 months, getting myself put back together again from the fatigue of war and some injuries that I had that I needed to be there for, to take care of. And I had the gracious opportunity to be part of the Chief's Mess that went and visited a World War II Medal of Honor recipient. In fact, his name was John Finn. He was a chief aviation ordnance man, John Finn. Those are the men who load the aircraft with bombs and 50 caliber and 30 caliber bullets and take care of the aircraft so that when they land, they reload them and they send them right back out again with the ordnance to fight the enemy wherever it may be. And John Finn was a small man in stature. He was in his late 80s at the time. We went to his home. And the chief's mess, there was 8 of us in the chief's mess, and we've chiefs and senior chiefs and one master chief. And we had dinner with John Finn, the Medal of Honor recipient. He was the first recipient of Pearl Harbor of World War II. And what an honor it was to sit down and have dinner with that man and to meet him face to face and to shake his hand and for him to share his story and his life about what took place. And I want to read to you his Medal of Honor citation. After he was awarded the Medal of Honor, they made him a lieutenant, from a chief to a lieutenant, and he complained severely about that because he had a new wife, they had a baby on the way, and he was making more money as a chief than he was as an ensign, and they made him an ensign. So it's like, he goes, here I did my job, I got the Medal of Honor, and then they docked me my pay because he went from a chief to an ensign. And so finally, one of the congressmen stepped up and they made him a lieutenant so that he had a little better pay than chief. And so it was interesting to hear him talk about that. He goes, we were barely eating. You know, it was during the war. It was during a very tough time in the nation. Here they are honoring him, but his honor took him backwards instead of forward as far as personally with his wife and his family. Lieutenant John W. Finn, citation, for extraordinary heroism, distinguished service, and devotion above and beyond the call of duty during the first attack by Japanese airplanes on the Naval Air Station Kaneho Bay on December 7, 1941. Lieutenant Finn promptly secured and manned a 50 caliber machine gun mounted on an instruction stand in a completely exposed section of the parking ramp, which was under heavy enemy machine gun strafing fire. Although painfully wounded many times, he continued to man this gun and to return the enemy's fire vigorously and with telling effect throughout the enemy's strafing and bombing attacks, and with complete disregard for his own personal safety. It was only by specific orders that he was persuaded to leave his post to seek medical attention. Following first aid treatment, although obviously suffering much pain and moving with great difficulty, he returned to the squadron area and actively supervised the rearming of the returning planes. His extraordinary heroism and conduct in his actions were keeping with the highest traditions of the United States Navy. One man out of many who have served and received the Medal of Honor. There were so many during that time frame that at the Battle of Pearl Harbor, the attack of Pearl Harbor, that were probably many of them that should have received the Medal of Honor, but John Finn was the first to receive the Medal of Honor for his actions that day, standing up with courage and strength and tenacity to fight the enemy face to face as those aircraft came down upon him, firing the strafing rounds. I mean, talk about a fear factor. knowing that any given moment your life could be gone, but you're there at the moment, you're there to fight because there is no other option. You either run or you fight. This machine gun area was a standalone machine gun out in the middle of the ramp between the aircraft. There were no sandbags around it. There were nothing. It was just an area where they trained the pilots out there and showed them, the crews, how to use the 50 caliber machine guns as they were getting ready to get in their aircraft. And so it's just amazing to me as we sat there and we listened to him during dinner and we talked to him and we listened to him tell his story, the fact that you're in the presence of an American hero. And someone who didn't run from danger, somebody who stood up to that. And so many times in my life, after I've talked to these different veterans and read the different stories of the Medal of Honor recipients, to see their courage, their example of how important it is for all of us in our lives to not falter when the enemy is there, when the enemy is firing the attacks, when the enemy is out there. And I'm not talking about an actual enemy that is here within the United States, although there are many. But I'm talking about life in general, when the different enemies that are out there, whether it's finances or whether it's family issues or whether it's drugs or alcohol or PTSD. Those are the times when you have to reach down deep in your soul and say, look, it's me or them, and I'm not going to let them win. And that's where you reach in and you draw for that courage. You know, I look as we lose our World War II veterans right now and our Korean War veterans and our Vietnam veterans and these men and women who have served and have set the example for us. They are becoming fewer and fewer. These are the individuals, the fabric of our nation, who helped bring us into this next generation for rebuilding America during and after World War II and the societies and bringing our financial places and things together. Now they're gone. It's like an old jacket that you've worn and it is threadbare. And every time we lose a veteran, we lose a thread. The piece of clothing becomes thinner and thinner, and pretty soon it'll be hardly able to wear. And as I talk to different young people out there, and when I say young, I mean 18 to 30. And, hey, did you serve in the military? No. Hey, did you serve in the military? No. Talk to them, and there's less and less and fewer young men and young women who are stepping up to serve this nation. Our World War II veterans, our Korean War veterans, our Vietnam veterans were part of our moral compass for this nation because their mentorship, their experience, the people that they talked to, how they lived their lives, how they suggested things, how they did things, that influence is leaving our nation every single day. We're losing those people that are part of that thread of our society, and how important it is as we continue to move forward, do we remember what these men and women have stood for, what they stand for, and their tenacity, and where they've been, and the struggles that they found courage to find their way through. And that's why the Northern California Veterans Museum is so important as we continue to move forward, because as these families bring in these items, and not just uniforms, but they bring in their stories, and they bring in their books, and their autobiographies, and their diaries, and we safeguard these items, because this new generation doesn't want it. Literally, it's going in the trash. We had another family this last week. They were at a yard sale, and nobody bought the uniform. They had thrown a beautiful Army Airborne dress greens uniform in the trash because nobody wanted it. And they pulled it out of the trash and they said, we're bringing it to you, because it was a tragedy to see it in the trash. And I said, thank you, because that's what we need to do. We need to safeguard this history, because that uniform is just not a piece of cloth. That uniform tells the story of that man who served this country during Vietnam, who put his life on the line. He said, you know what, whether I want to be here or not, I'm going to do the best that I can. And he lived, and he did his job, and he came home. And we continue to safeguard these items and make sure that we have them to continue the story, because we cannot forget. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane.
going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Redding has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Each year, millions of older adults suffers injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in serious injuries such as broken bone, head injuries, or death. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age that meet the income criteria and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program was established for the purpose of reducing the number of debilitating falls suffered by older adults and persons with disabilities, thus enabling older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to find out how this no-cost program may help.
This is the Cigar of the Month from Tobacco and Brew, brought to you by Liga Privada. The Underground Sun Grown is the perfect balance of Nicaraguan long filler tobacco. Draped in a lovely Connecticut sun-grown wrapper, this stick received a 92 rating. With hints of spice, wood, and espresso, this robust cigar ends on notes of cinnamon. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
I said, Grandpa, what's this picture here? It's all black and white. It ain't real clear, is that you there? He said, yeah, I was 11. And times were tough back in 35. That's me and Uncle Joe just trying to survive a cotton farm in a Great Depression. If it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save each other, you should have seen it in color. Oh, and this one here is taking overseas in the middle of hell in 1943 in the wintertime. Almost see my breath. That was my tail gunner, old Johnny McGee. He was a high school teacher from New Orleans, and he had my back right through the day we left. If it looked like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save each other, should have seen it in color.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And it's so true. You look at all of the different World War II and earlier pictures, and they're all black and white. And I've been to Okinawa, and I've been to Guam, and I've been throughout the South Pacific on the different islands in the Philippines, and it's so beautiful and so lush, and you would think that it would be such a receiving place to be, and most of the time nowadays it is. But when I was serving in Guam, when we were out on one of the initial attack beaches there, and the Agana Beach, where 9,500 military personnel army came through and landed at that location for Guam, and they lost over 2,300 lives on that island. And to think about the horror and the terror that was on that beachhead, and yet the beauty of the ocean and the clouds and the jungles with the palm trees and the tall elephant grass and everything else. And I imagine, you know, it's so surreal for something to look so beautiful and yet to be so deadly. And when I look at the pictures of Vietnam that are in color, and I see the exact same thing, that you could be lulled into a sense of things are okay because I don't hear anything, I don't see any danger, and then the enemy pops its heads up, and all you see is the flame and the fire and the tracer bullets whizzing past you. Surreal is the same word that we use in Iraq, because even though we were in the middle of the desert and there was no terrain around, I mean, there was no plants around us. There's sand dunes everywhere, and they hide in the sand dunes down in these pits and everything else, and the tracer fire comes through your convoys. And so it's so amazing to envision those black and white pictures and what we saw during World War II and also during Vietnam, and then to see the reality of what it looks like today. The world is a different place because of those who served around the world to preserve that freedom. And even though there's still so much danger out there, And bad people, it is still a far cry from where it was 50, 60, 75 years ago. And so, once again, when we talk with our veterans, when you see a veteran that's wearing a hat, and it doesn't matter where they served, say thank you. Because we would not have what we have without the freedom, with the freedom that we have without those who served and sacrificed. And some wear hats and some don't because they don't want to be recognized or they don't want to talk about it. But more and more veterans are wearing their hats to show the branch of service and where they may have served, because they're finding that the society that tore them down when they came back from the war zone is not the society of today. And I think it is so important that people need to know those men and women who served our nation faithfully, who served overseas, or they served in the United States. They serve a branch of service. That we continue to say thank you to them. You can offer them a handshake if they choose to shake your hand. That's great. But I would never recommend that you walk up and touch them on the back or the shoulder or the arm or whatever else. But just a simple thank you is more than enough. Because many, when they came home, never even received a thank you. And how important it is for us to continue to honor those who served, whether they were thanked then or we continue to thank them now to make that happen. So as we're talking about veterans and different things, there's a program out called Operation Protect Veterans, and it's put out by AARP and the United States Postal Service. And it's a program that helps take care of fraud, because so many of our veterans, as they get older and older, they become susceptible to fraud and to phishing and to different things that take away from them, whether it's financially or in their homes or whatever else. And so I want to read this to you real quick so that you have an idea of what we're referring to here. America's veterans are warriors trained to handle anything in battle that can be thrown at them. But there's one foe many veterans struggle to defeat, domestic fraud. 78% of our retired military men and women have been targeted by scams specifically crafted to exploit their military service and history. Sadly, veterans are twice as likely to actually fall for fraudulent schemes. The research done by AARP Research found that 16% of veterans have lost money to scammers, compared to only 8% of non-military public. The question is why? Well, for starters, veterans implicitly trust fellow members of the military, making them vulnerable to imposters. Veterans also have a PTSD rate more than double the general public's, which can make it more difficult for them to recognize and combat the emotional manipulation used by scam artists. And so it's so important for us as we move to, forward with this program here to let you know. I'm going to give you the phone number a couple of times. If you want to write down the phone number for information concerning the scamming, or if you've had somebody that scam you, the phone number is 877-908-3360. So if you didn't get a pen, grab a pen, and I'll give you the phone number again here in just a minute. So some of these ways that they scam our veterans is, I constantly get in the mail VA loan scams, different things like that. Hey, we can give you a better deal than somebody else with a VA loan, this, that, and the other thing. Someone offers to refinance your home at a lower interest rate. It's so important to make sure that you're with a viable company, a viable organization. And I personally have my home loan is with Rocket Mortgage, and so we've been very happy with them. They've been very honest with us, and we're pleased with that. You don't want to use a fly-by-night organization, and it's best to talk to other veterans and find out who they use for their mortgages or their loans like that, so that you're using somebody that has a track record and not somebody that just sends you a flyer in the mail. Because if it looks too good to be true, let me tell you, probably is too good to be true. It's probably fraudulent, or you're going to get taken by a scam. Also, tech support is an issue. You'll get a message or an email saying that there's a virus on your computer and you need to pay to remove it, whether you have one or not. And that's another way to fall into those things. A lot of times, you know, our older veterans, they are not computer savvy. And so they're trying to do the best they can to be able to, use the computer to their advantage or their benefit, or to text or email. And then they fall into these different traps that are out there. The phishing scam. You receive a call or an email about a program for vets that pays thousands in benefits, but they ask you for your personal information. Never surrender your information unless you absolutely know who it is. And even at that, sometimes you think you may know who it is and it isn't. So be very, very careful as you surrender your Social Security number or your driver's license. With this day and age, they can backtrack and they can use just about anything, including your full name, to find out where you live, what your Social Security number is, all these different things. Credit card scams. You get a call from a robot caller saying that they can lower your interest rate. You send them the information because you need to get out of that higher interest rate, and boom, there's an issue. Go to the bank. Go to a local bank and ask them for information. Go to a credit union. There's several really good credit unions here in our community. Golden One. You know, there's also Sierra Central. And ask them for – they would be more – whether you use them or not, they are grateful to give you the proper information through the proper channel so that you won't be lost to a scam. IRS tax scam. Someone calls or leaves a message saying that they work for the IRS and that you owe them money. The IRS will not call you. You receive a number from the Social Security or the IRS. It is a scam. And so you need to know and you need to understand that so you don't fall into that trap and they take advantage of you. Also, charity scams. If you're asked to make a donation to support veterans or the police or the fire, but the charity is not a legitimate organization. And we have people ask us all the time to verify for Homeward Bound or for the Northern California Veterans Museum, our tax-exempt number or our 501c3 number or our California Charity 1 number. And we are happy to hand that information out, because an organization that is upfront, that is true, that is on the level, will give you that information that you want to know because they want to do business with you. And we're not there to hide things. We don't call out there. We don't call people. Sometimes I think we should, because we need to get some funding coming into the museum and through our Homeward Bound program. We need to find another way to ask people without people being offended or thinking that it's a scam. And so once again, it's so important for us as an organization to be upfront and to make sure that you know that we're speaking to you. We don't ask for a lot of money. We definitely need it on a daily basis, but we just don't go out there and knock on doors as often as we should to be able to move forward with our project. So once again, our veterans out there, the phone number before we go to break, it's 877-908-3360. 877-908-3360. Or you can go to aarp.org. Fraud Watch, and look it up online. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you. like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's keep it 100. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bout it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR. With your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Oh,
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, Anchors Away, the theme of the United States Navy. And tell you, you had better know every single word of that, forward and backwards, if when you make Chief Petty Officer, because that is part of your initiation. And that's a small kind part of your initiation when you make Chief Petty Officer, because there's a whole list of things that you can't even talk about or shouldn't talk about that take place that test your bearing and capability as a human being, let alone as a new Chief Petty Officer. My guest this morning is Career Counselor Chief, Navy Career Counselor Chief, Steve Matthews. And Steve is the Junior Past Regional West Coast President for the FRA. The FRA is the Fleet Reserve Association, Loyalty, Protection, and Service, Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. And so as we get ready, good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning.
So as we get ready to move forward, I'm going to read a real quick article, Steve, about some Navy issues with other than honorable discharges and general discharges.
Please do.
And then we're going to talk about benefits from we're going to talk about a little bit about your background as a Navy chief, and then come in and talk about the FRA and how it reaches out to our different military personnel. After they get out of the military, doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, for this program to work with you in the community to help other veterans, but then also to help other military families in our community also. And this is a national program, and the Northern California Veterans Museum is a member and a partner with the FRA as far as naval heritage and things like that go within the museum. And so thank you for being with us this morning.
You're welcome.
So the article I want to read to you right now is very important because we have female veterans that have come to me and talked to me, especially Navy veterans, and there's different issues as far as command issues and sexual harassment issues and different things like that. It's not just women, but there's been men that have issues with that also coming left and right through the programs. And many times it's the situation that takes place. It becomes a command decision based on the senior leadership of that personal command. Doesn't matter where it is in the Navy or the Marine Corps or the Coast Guard. And sometimes it can be very biased in one way. And so this article I'm going to read to you is about Congress moving forward with the United States Navy and the Marine Corps to work with those who either they've made a mistake in their career and have been booted, or a command has singled them out and has been very biased against them with the issue that's taking place and not allowed them to have the rights and benefits that they deserve because the command is either embarrassed or the command chooses to hide or to neglect the opportunity to take care of this particular sailor, man or woman. So the title of the article is Navy to Review Recent Other Than Honorable Discharges. The U.S. Navy has recently agreed to review more than 9 years' worth of other than honorable discharges given to thousands of Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder or certain other traumatic health conditions. The announcement follows preliminary court approval of the settlement of the 2018 lawsuit alleging that a Navy board had improperly denied a Marine Corps veteran's request for a better discharge status. The suit was filed by Tyson Maneker and the National Veterans Council for Legal Redress. Maneker, who served 1999 to 2003 and earned multiple awards and commendations, received an other-than-honorable discharge for smoking marijuana. The settlement would require the Navy to review discharge status upgrade applications made to the National Discharge Review Board between March 2nd, 2012 and October 12th of 2021. The Navy said in a statement that the review applies to Navy and Marine Corps veterans who served during the era of the Iraq-Afghanistan wars, were given other than honorable discharges, and were partially or fully denied a discharge status upgrade. The settlement would also expand reapplication rights for eligible applicants who were discharged and received an adverse review board decision between October 7, 2001 and March 2, 2012. In addition, the Navy agreed to provide discharge review boards and staffers with annual training in PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, military sexual trauma, and other behavioral or mental health conditions, according to the settlement. There are things that take place all the time that are very questionable, and yet they're not given any review. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about with the FRA and the benefits and things like that. And one of the things that I come back to with this particular Marine that was booted for smoking marijuana was if you were an alcoholic in the Navy or the Marine Corps and you got a DUI, normally a DUI would be grounds for you to be dishonorably discharged, especially if there's a criminal action with it. But they had a program, the military had a program for these individuals to go to an alcoholic training program. If they were consistent and dedicated to the program and they graduated through that program and they could stay in the service. And my question was, okay, a Marine goes out on a weekend, he goes to a bar, he gets drunk, whatever else, they pass around a joint, he gets caught on the drug test with the marijuana. If they do it for the alcohol, why didn't they do it for the marijuana? Why didn't they take him in and counsel him? Why didn't they say, you have one opportunity and this is it. If you do it again, you're out of here. With a dishonorable discharge, not an other than honorable discharge, and be able to allow those individuals to come back in through the program and to continue to be a good sailor or a good Marine or a good Coast Guardsman, or Air Force or any of the other Army. Because people make mistakes, especially when you're young. Sometimes they're simple mistakes and sometimes they're critical mistakes, but we are humans and we're critical to error. And so, especially as a senior chief, I had to counsel my individuals, my sailors, on multiple bases, multiple times. There were some that probably should have been dishonorably discharged that made it all the way through, but they never did any actions that put them in that position. And then those that make a simple mistake, and then they're booted to the exit. So, good morning, Steve. As we talk about these the different situations that come across our sailors and our Marines and our Coast Guardsmen and other military branches also, the different things that are out there, the different benefits that are out there, the different things that we can talk about. You as a fellow chief were in the same position counseling junior sailors, junior officers, trying to make the Navy a better workplace, a better place for us to be able to serve our country and to do the job we were required to do. And so tell me a little bit about your career, a little bit about what you did. And as we come back into the FRA portion of the program, we want to be able to talk about the benefits that the FRA has to our current young veterans and our elderly veterans also. The program covers the entire gamut.
So I've broken service guy. I started out in Vietnam as an air crewman.
Thank you for your service.
And
welcome home.
Thank you. And flew off the coast of North and South Vietnam as a radar operator. And we did the air cap for downed pilots, that kind of stuff. And then broken service came back in, went back to be an air crewman, finished 17 years as an air crewman, flew in P-3s out of Moffett and elsewhere, three squadrons, three aircraft carriers, an oiler, and two short shore duty assignments out of 23 years of service. That's pretty much it. I ended up.
That's a whole career, but that's pretty much.
I retired out of Naval Station Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, having done three back-to-back tours in Hawaii, which was good, and almost 9 years there. So can't complain. In the process on active duty, I completed a bachelor's degree, and then a master's degree in business. So tried to apply myself on the side too, to get ready for transition to civilian life, and here we sit.
Well, with all of those, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of those experiences when you were flying, because I know there's a couple of them in there that are probably pretty dangerous, but some of them are pretty funny too, and so we'll be talking about those items. Once again, our guest this morning is Steve Matthews with the Fleet Reserve Association. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Officials say a New York City police officer has been killed, another critically wounded,
It happened at a shooting last night in Harlem as two officers responded to a domestic disturbance call. The suspect was shot as well and is now hospitalized in critical condition. President Biden's job approval rating slipped this week following his extended press conference. Here's Bernie Bennett.
Rasmussen Report's daily presidential tracking poll for Friday shows that 41% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Biden's job performance, 58% disapprove. The latest figures include 20% who strongly approve of the job Mr. Biden is doing and 47% who strongly disapprove. This gives him a presidential approval index rating of negative 27. At this point in his presidency, former President Trump had a 45% approval rating, 4% higher than President Biden. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Florida Republican Senator Rick Scott says that President Biden has a habit of, in his words, passing the buck when it comes to problems brought on by his own policies.
His group is the one that paid people, you know, more money to not work than to work. But he's not has any responsibility for that. He's never responsible for the Afghanistan debacle. He's not responsible for anything.
Senator Scott was interviewed this week by the Salem Radio Network. A gunman who held four people captive at a Texas synagogue last week in a 10-hour standoff was killed by multiple gunshot wounds as FBI members entered the building. The special agent in charge of the FBI's Dallas field office, Matthew DeSarno, says the investigation is ongoing.
We are following up on a high volume of viable leads, as this is an evolving investigation into a terrorist who crossed global boundaries and who was not known to and did not have prior contact with U.S. intelligence or law enforcement authorities.
And the Tarrant County Medical Examiner released initial information from the autopsy of Malik Faisal Akram. More from townhall.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-2085. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-2085. 800-555-2085.
The ongoing battle over masks moves to Virginia.
Governor Glenn Youngkin has asked the Supreme Court of Virginia to dismiss a lawsuit challenging his executive order allowing parents to opt out of mandates requiring children to wear masks in school. A filing from Attorney General Jason Miaris cites a state law that says parents have a fundamental right to make decisions concerning the upbringing, education, and care of their children. Miaris also argues that Youngkin's order falls within the broad authority given to the governor to address the challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic. School districts in Virginia have required masks in part under a 2021 state law. Keith Peters reporting.
General Motors says it will spend about $154 million to revamp an old factory near Buffalo, New York. That's so it can make a key part for electric vehicle motors. The automaker says it will add about 230 jobs in Lockport. More from townhall.com. Netflix reporting another quarter of disappointing subscriber growth.
It's a trend that management foresees continuing into the new year, as tougher competition is undercutting the video streaming leader. The company added 8.3 million worldwide subscribers during the October-December period, about 200,000 fewer than management had forecast. Netflix predicted subscriber growth well below analysts' estimates for the first 3 months of this year, too. John Scott reporting.
The Biden administration on Friday announced policy changes to attract international students who specialize in science, technology, engineering, and math. The focus on so-called STEM studies is part of a broader effort by the administration to make the U.S. economy more competitive. The State Department will let eligible visiting students complete up to 36 months of academic training, according to a notice in the Federal Register, also in an initiative to connect those students with U.S. employers. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
to the mailbox on that bright summer's day. Found a letter from her son in a war far away. He spoke of the weather and good friends that he'd made. Said, I've been thinking about dad and the life that he had. That's why I'm here today. And then in the end he said, you are what I'm fighting for. It was the first of his letters from war. Honey, she'll not forget. Oh, her tears stained the paper with every word.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And that's what our wishes, our prayers are for our veterans, is to make it home. And that's what we do with this program, is we try to honor those who have made it home and to keep them on the up and up to with our programs with Silver Star Veterans and Widows and with Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, to give them that hand up, to give them that hope, to be able to lead them in an opportunity to be successful in their lives as they come back from the war zone or wherever it may be, or as they continue to strive in their personal lives here at home after they come back. And it doesn't matter whether you're a young veteran or you're an older veteran, life raises its ugly head. And you have to be able to survive. You have to be able to have that courage to be able to stand up. And sometimes all you need is to be able to talk to a fellow veteran or to talk to somebody that cares in your community to be able to let you know that you're not by yourself, even though you're going through some of these struggles. And one of these programs, along with the museum programs, is the FRA, which is the Fleet Reserve Association. My guest this morning is Steve Matthews, who is the past regional West Coast president for the FRA. And Steve, thank you for being here this morning. We're going to talk about some of these benefits that the FRA has to be able to offer to our community. And once again, the museum and the FRA are partners here in Northern California.
Yeah, so we just got the every Friday they come out with news bites. One of the things that the FRA supported is a new program that just got passed by the House, GI Bill benefits for the reserve and the guard, like a California guard. So that's a big piece of what we do. That's why the organization stood up, and that encouraged me to be part of the FRA. We also do things with the Veterans Administration, with the hospitals, like Volunteer Services Committee. You can serve as a veteran service officer, having completed training if you're part of the Fleet Reserve Association.
So concerning the veteran service officer, you don't have to be a veteran service officer with the county or with the...
No.
If you're part of an organization, you can take this course online through the FRA.
Yes.
And be able to receive that information and a certification to be able to work with and help veterans in the community. You don't have to be the county VSO.
No.
And is it the same program as what the county VSO goes through,
well,
or is this a like course?
Think of this as something separate. All the veterans benefits are things that stood up after the Civil War. They recognized that they had all these veterans, large number of veterans that they had to deal with, and the first thing they told them was that you need to go to a lawyer, you need to bring all your documents, and then you need to work with a lawyer to do it. And they recognized over time is that, you know, they weren't providing any money for the lawyers to do this.
Right.
And so they offered an opportunity to charter organizations to be certifiers, you know, for veteran service officers to train them up. And so they don't charter organizations anymore. Now, as an example, the FRA is the one that certifies and credentials somebody to be a veteran service officer, and they submit the papers to the VA. They get vetted. It takes a little while, but they get vetted, and then the Fleet Reserve Association provides additional training. And I'm part of the national committee, and that's what we're going through right now, is we're going through additional training to make people really good veteran service officers. You know, sometimes they come and go in organizations. Regardless, I don't want to name any organizations, regardless what they are. Sometimes you have good ones. Sometimes you have bad ones. We don't want anything but good VSOs. So we're striving to provide training to all the people that have been certified, additional training to make them excellent veteran service officers.
And I know that you and I have talked with our Homeward Bound program and even with our Silver Star Veterans program, that I should go through this Veteran Service Officers Program to
absolutely
be able to be more up to date with what we can offer that our veterans, and also to know what is available for our veterans.
Yes.
So because, and they have a really tough time in Tehama County keeping a veteran service officer.
No, and unless you go through the training, you don't know what questions to ask.
Right.
You can't. The light bulb's not gonna go on over your head when they speak about things that they experienced. You really need the training in order to connect the dots, and then you need the training in order to have use the right process to submit the paperwork, and also to keep a veteran from maybe going off the track in submitting something that's fraudulent. So you can also advise veterans to say, hey, you know, this won't work. You know, based on the information you've given me, you can continue to try to do it, but here's my advice to you. So you're an advisor, you're a counselor, you're administrative in a lot of respects, but it's one of those things where you can't do it on your own, and you don't want to be a veteran that goes direct to the VA and tries to deal with them directly, because the answer basically on a lot of things is going to be no, unless it's kind of like a court of law. Unless you have a body of evidence, and it's a good body of evidence to submit, the answer is probably going to be
or a good attorney to represent you.
Or a good attorney or a good veteran service officer to represent you. Then you're on firm ground, and that way, then there's a buffer in between you and the VA.
It's kind of like going back to Navy Career Counselor School, where they give you all the information to be able to help the young sailors to move forward in their careers.
Yeah, for the benefit, both Rob and I have been through Navy Career Counselor School. It is the same thing within the active duty ranks as far as advising sailors on their options, what they might be able to do, you know, what their background is, a good fit, and all that stuff, guiding them on their entire military career should they decide to stay. So for veterans, you always walk away with something that's kind of an unanswered question that has to do with your health or benefits or compensation. And that's what the VSO is there to do, is to help with that.
There's many times, that I'll be honest, that we've had individuals come to us with many different requests. And so many times I've been able to answer those with good order. But there's other times I have to refer them to another organization because I just don't have all of the answers to all of those questions.
So for this organization, I belong to the FRA. The National Executive Director is a veteran service officer. And he handles all the administrative stuff for the organization. He has two assistants that are veteran service officers that help him. So if I could run across something I don't understand, I've got my go-to people in headquarters in Virginia to help us. And they have a direct line with the VA, their VA headquarters. So that helps.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta Spring Water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Thank you.
I know you're worn, I know you're torn. You're losing all your hope, 'cause you're a long way from home. Oh, I know you're worried, I know you're scared. I'd like to put my arms around you, tell you I care. Hope is in heaven, not far away. Just close your eyes, he hears what you say. Feel him around you, he's everywhere. Reaching to touch you, know that he's there. Deep in the heart of a wound, he hears a soul. Protect you, God, where you go. Keep you from evil, tears at your soul. Oh, speak to the Father, say what's on your mind. It just takes a moment, if you'll take the time. Hope is in heaven, not far away. Just close.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest this morning once again is Steve Matthews, Navy Career Counselor Chief, Vietnam veteran. And Steve, we talked a little bit earlier about you serving during the Vietnam War, and I want us to just step back and have you talk a little bit about your flying career. Maybe some of the close calls that you might have had when you were serving, and
sure,
maybe some of the good points. Because I think it's really important as we honor, we're part of the 50th commemoration of the Vietnam Wall and the Vietnam War as a partner with the National Commemoration with the museum. As we talk with our Vietnam veterans, we want to touch on the base of where they served. And when we honor you today as a Vietnam veteran, we honor all of our Vietnam veterans.
Sure.
And so we want to hear a little bit about some of those times when you served overseas.
Sure. So, you know, for a lot of Vietnam veterans, like other conflicts, the people that come back, it's like, you know, I don't know why you're honoring me, because I'm here, you know.
Right.
It's my brothers and sisters that didn't make it back as the ones I would want to honor. But I think of kind of stupid stuff. You know, the aircraft that we had to fly with was actually became part of the military in the 50s as an anti-submarine warfare aircraft primarily. So it was had 2 9-cylinder radial engines, and its cruise speed was 113 knots. Now, folks, that's not fast.
That makes a good target.
That makes a really good target. So the crews before mine, they tried to use them during the Tet Offensive for close ground support, and they lost 2/3 of the squadron.
Wow.
Those crews and those aircraft did not come back. And I assumed that that was going to be the same fate for me when we got there. Things kind of quieted down in Vietnam after Tet Offensive in 68. So we were primarily flying search and surveillance missions off the coast of North and South Vietnam in the slow aircraft, okay? And normally when we're flying along, and I was a radar operator, the way we ran in on ships or the way that we did our combat air patrols for downed pilots, that was my job, you know, to kind of clear the area of what was in the area. But you were only supposed to turn the radio on about every 30 minutes. Take a sweep, get your targets, lay them all out, and then we'd fly in on them, identify them day or night. And we had on the wing of the aircraft, we had a searchlight, an arc light. And underneath the wing, we had a camera and a pod with these flash cartridges. It looked like giant shotgun shells.
Wow.
So when we made that last run in, I can just imagine what it must have been like on a small merchant ship or something, hauling stuff to North Vietnam. you hear this thing rattling, heading toward you, and then at the last minute you'd hear boom, 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 and all these cartridges would go off, and we'd take pictures and then fly off and then pass the intelligence on.
At 113 knots, you could almost throw a rock at that.
Yeah, you could just about throw a rock at it. So if somebody wanted to knock us out of the sky, easy peasy, knock us out of the sky.
Wow, that was tough.
And we would fly a track where we'd go up north toward Hainan Island in China and then make a slow lumbering left-hand turn to go down the coast of North Vietnam. And a lot of times, most of the time we flew at night.
Okay. I can see why, yes.
For good reason.
Yes. They couldn't see you.
They couldn't see us, but they were flying along one night, and the radar operator, me and the radar operator on the left-hand side of the aircraft, or port side of the aircraft, okay, and I've got this little tiny window off the side. Main stayed closed most of the time when I was flying, so no light shined out, okay, at night. But we're lumbering along. And I had this funny feeling something wasn't right one night. And I slid the curtain back on that window. And I looked down and I could see campfires. And we're flying, I want to say, about 3,000 feet in the air. Not very high for guns or for rockets, you know, for anti-aircraft rockets or whatever. And I says, hey, flight, you know, the radar operator. Say, yeah, what do you want? What are you guys doing up there? Nothing. We're just flying along. You know, it says, where are we at? And it says, we're just flying the southern route, you know, off the coast of North Vietnam. I see campfires below. And you imagine the effort of trying to take that big stumbling aircraft and make a big heavy left-hand turn and try to add coal to those two 9-cylinder engines to get away from North Vietnam back out to sea.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
So somehow they had gone off course, obviously.
They had gone off course, and it's easy to do. The winds probably carried them into, because we were normally about 35 miles of the coast of North Vietnam, just out there in that margin where if a pilot went down, we'd be right on top of them to sit there in orbit till the helicopter came in to pick them up. Okay, when they did the strikes in North Vietnam.
At that speed, with a heavy headwind, you'd almost be standing still.
Yes. And the whole time we're flying, the Chinese were tracking us and every other aircraft out there. So they had these manual radars where they could lock onto an aircraft and they could get course, speed, and altitude. So they wouldn't track us all the time. We're kind of low priority, but they track us, and then they look for other targets. And they track us for a couple of seconds and then look for other targets. And I'd say, hey, flight, permission to bug Hainan. And I had this way of making a radar scan. It looked like a fire control radar on the other end. Very narrow. Did it, you know, like that. And I'd put the radar on standby and get it all set up to hit the center of Hainan Island. And I had a scope to pick up enemy radars. And I'd do that for a few seconds and shut it down. And that whole scope would just bloom with all these radar sites that came on in China.
Wow.
Trying to figure out who we were and what we were doing.
Those are the sites that were tracking you.
Yeah.
And so when they probably knew when you were flying that lower speed that you were probably that particular type of aircraft.
Well, yeah, but when you hit them like that with a fire control radar, it could be anything. It could be a bomber. It could be a fighter aircraft. They don't know what it is, but they know that it's very unusual to get that kind of radar pattern, that something's getting ready to drop a bomb or send a rocket their way, that kind of stuff.
Our guest this morning is Steve Matthews, United States Navy Chief, a Vietnam veteran. And you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Carl Bott. Join Ted Leidy and me on the last Thursday of each month for North State Now as we discuss things that men talk about. If you've ever wanted to hear what men talk about when they're all together, tune in at 6 p.m. the last Thursday of each month and hear politics, hunting, the bourbon of the month, and much more. All of this on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
We had no home from
so. They sent us Playboy, they gave us Bravo. We dug in deep and shot on sight and prayed to Jesus Christ with all of our might. We had no cameras to shoot the landscape. We passed the hash pipe and played our doorstep.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, Saigon by Billy Joel, talking about being in the jungles of Vietnam. And our guest this morning, Steve Matthews, United States Navy, Chief Petty Officer. Steve, how old were you when you were there flying over Vietnam?
I was 19, turned 20. I didn't turn 21 until I got back from Vietnam.
So did you have, at 19, when you were flying the aircraft, you were doing your radar technician work, you guys ever take any enemy fire when you're out there?
No, we never did. We were, at that time, like I say, this was right before Nixon's Vietnamization process. Things had kind of quieted down. They thought that the North Vietnamese were going to play well with us at the negotiation
table,
the peace tables, and they thought that things were going to wind down. They could turn it over to the South Vietnamese and walk away from it, kind of like what we're
doing in Afghanistan
now. They thought they could do that and that the North Vietnamese were just going to stay where they're at and be nice, good neighbors.
Nobody learns from history, do they?
Well, sometimes we learn from history and sometimes we don't.
We just repeat history.
Sometimes we do repeat history. Too bad.
Well, as we're talking, you're talking about what other aircraft did you fly during that time? Was it just that one particular aircraft?
I just flew in that one aircraft. I didn't fly helicopters. We got back. We took a little some time off when we got back from Vietnam. And then we had quarters, and they said, hey, we need a couple of air crewmen to go back and fly in helicopters. And I went to my chief, and I says, I want to go back. I definitely do want to go back right now. I didn't, I was kind of one of those young sailors. I didn't want somebody poking me on their shoulders, telling me I need to get a haircut, da-da-da-da. You know that kind of stuff?
I do. When you're
in the
combat
zone. When you get back
to
the combat zone, nobody cares.
That's right.
When you get back to home, everybody cares about how
garrison.
You look. And I says, I need to get back there because I'm a lot safer there. And my chief says, no, you are not going. I will not let you. The answer is no. Don't ask again. And later on I found out why. Is because the only thing they wanted us to fly in helicopters for was to fly from Da Nang out to refrigeration ships and to haul the bodies.
Wow.
From Da Nang to the ships back and forth all day for several weeks. To give the people who had been doing that a break because it was just, it just drove you nuts. And so I didn't, and the other guy in my squadron who went, he volunteered to do it. When he came back, I says, hey, how was your time in the helicopter? He'd just stare off in space. He wouldn't talk to me. He'd pretend I wasn't there, and I understand why.
It takes so much of your life out of you, dealing with the death of other soldiers and sailors.
Yeah,
just constantly. So you did one tour in Vietnam then at that point?
Yes, I did one tour in Vietnam. They brought us back early. We were in Hong Kong. They said, we come back to the ship. They say, hey, we're going home. Well, you mean we're going home? We got another 3 months out here of this stuff. So no, we're going home because they're going to turn it over to the South Vietnamese.
Wow.
And, things went downhill very quickly from there.
Yes, as we've seen in the Afghan government with the Taliban and ISIS and everything else
yes.
taking place there.
Yeah.
Nobody carries what we carry as a nation
no.
or with our military.
No, no. You have to have a long memory. You have to kind of been there, done that to get how important it is. And all Southeast Asia suffered after we pulled out of South Vietnam.
Including our men and women in our own military.
Yes.
Well, as we move forward from this conversation, we want to come back and talk about some of the benefits that the FRA is still providing to our veterans that have come home, especially as still the benefits are there for our Vietnam veterans also.
Yes.
And so many that have stayed away from it and haven't stepped out to get those benefits are still available for those veterans.
Yeah, like me, you know, I don't have any directly combat-related injuries where I shot at or hit or shot at and missed. Okay, and most veterans, you think about it, I would say 90% of the veterans never go see the VA. But they don't understand. There's other things that are going on in their life. There's other things, exposure to chemicals, those kinds of things, or just general injuries or things they just can't deal with in their head. They're still bothering them. That's part of what the VA is for there, too. And a lot of people never get rated, as they say, for compensation by the VA. And that's what the veteran service officers are there to do, to sit down and talk with them and help them kind of hash it out in their own head of whether or not they should seek compensation.
And those veterans that come back and don't seek help, on any given night, there are more than 37,000 U.S. veterans that are homeless on the streets across
yes.
the United States.
Yes.
That is right now, today, every single night, 37,000 plus homeless veterans across our nation.
Yeah.
And that's not acceptable.
For several different conflicts. Not Vietnam.
Correct.
Now. Now we're talking about other conflicts, and you could name any one of them, and there's people who just can't deal with what's going on. Now that they've come home, it's so different, and they're just not ready to cope with life, you know, because all these things are still in their head.
And then you add COVID to that, and that just increases the numbers even more.
Yes.
So you see the general public that's out there that's homeless because they can't handle it. But then you add the trauma with the PTSD and other items coming back from whether it's the wars or not, the disconnection from families, where the veteran separates themselves from the nucleus of the family, and now they're out there on their own that way also.
Sure.
And if there isn't an opportunity or a program out there available for them that reaches out to them, because many of them, they get secluded and they get put away, you know, wherever they can hide and do what they're, you know, hang to themselves or their small group of individuals, they never find that opportunity to come back and find that help.
Yeah, and then a lot of them never develop any kind of a coping mechanism to help with that. You know, some of us boneheads that stayed for one or two or three or four or five or six tours in the military over time, we develop coping mechanisms. But that doesn't mean that we don't have issues.
Struggles.
Struggles day to day, too.
And so, once again, that's where the programs from the Fleet Reserve Association have an opportunity to reach out to these individuals in the community. It doesn't matter if they're homeless or they're just veterans that are trying to live their life and get back in the saddle again and continue to move forward. These benefits are there. The other thing with the FRA, it's an opportunity for camaraderie from like-minded Navy and Marine Corps and Coast Guard individuals to be able to come together and talk about their experiences together and then to be able to move forward with that.
Yeah.
We're talking with Steve Matthews this morning. He's the Regional Director for the Fleet Reserve Association, the FRA. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, The bathrooms have been renovated. Granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
When it comes to best breakfast, you know Black Bear Diner is the place to be. But have you considered feeding your dinner bear there? Nothing says comfort like slow-cooked pot roast, house-made meatloaf, or a tender, breaded chicken fried steak. These dinners will take you back to the best home cooking comfort you know. Serve daily at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that Marine Corps hymn is in honor of Frank Russell, who was an FRA member. Yesterday, we interred him at the Igo Veterans Cemetery, and so we want to offer our condolences to his family and to his daughter and to his friends and those in our community. Another outstanding veteran who served their nation, came back and served their community, and lost and given his life here in our home due to some medical issues. And so, but we want to say thank you to him and his family, and we want to remember him. You know, our men and women who serve us, this nation, the only way we forget them is by not remembering them. And so it's so important for us. There's so many individuals who are interred at IGO. As I walked through the headstones and looked yesterday after the service and read the names, I have family out there, so I was out visiting there afterwards. And to these individuals who served, and it didn't matter which branch, which era, which time, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Panama, Iraq, Afghanistan, it goes on and on and on, men and women who served. And so we are so thankful to have the IGO Veterans Cemetery here in our community where we can go ahead and honor these veterans also. Steve.
Yes, that was a real honor. Rob Burrows, myself, from the Fleet Reserve Branch, Billy Ball.
Master Chief Ball.
Master Chief Ball.
And Master Chief Holmes.
And Master Holmes. Chief Holmes, yes. Went out there to pay our honors. It really was. It was an honor to be out there. And Frank Russell. He follows several people in the branch who've passed away before, Ed Robertson, Paul Jones, Joe Martin, Lee Hollowell, Mike Braden, and many others. And we're always looking to kind of bolster up the membership within the branch to continue the mission.
When we lose these older veterans like this, all of the knowledge and all the information and all that experience that they have that they share with individuals in the branch, but also individuals in the community, that disappears.
Yes.
All that mentorship, all that knowledge, once again, I mean, that they're willing to share and have shared with others in our community. What good does it do you to have information and knowledge between your ears if you never share that information and help others that need that information or the privileged?
Absolutely. After the interment, went to Frank Russell's home to spend time with his family and got to meet his two brothers.
Oh, okay.
And I knew him within our organization, but this is really knowing more, and that's one of the things I find about being part of this group is, I might have some things I need to get out, part of my story, but really the main thing is learning about all these other members, no matter whether they serve Coast Guard, Marine Corps, Navy, their story, and being their friends and kind of be part of their extended family and then doing things together that helps out the community is just golden. You can't pay money for that kind of experience. It's just something you wouldn't have otherwise. And for those of you who've served and to share your stories and hear other people's stories, that's really important. I don't know if you understand that, but that's a piece of your life that still has to come out. You may not want to share some of this stuff with family or friends who won't understand it or misunderstand it, but the people who have served in similar experiences will understand and be able to, you'll be able to have that kind of conversation that you'll get no place else. I'm a member of a lot of different organizations, but I'm a member of this one because they speak my language, okay? I can share things with them, and they understand things nobody else would understand.
Well, and being in the Navy is like being in several different branches because there's fleet, there's air wings, there's the Navy Seabees, there's EOD, there's all the different specialties that
there
are.
Special warfare, there's the special electronics. There's all these different fields that, unless you've been there, and gotten the T-shirt and worn the T-shirt out, you find run across somebody like that, they're the only ones who are going to know what you've done and have any kind of understanding or recognition of what you've done.
And it doesn't matter if you're part of the VFW, American Legion, AMVETS, or anything else. If you're one of the three, Coast Guard, Navy, Marines, the FRA is still an opportunity. You can belong to multiple different organizations because you're going to meet different people in every one of those.
Absolutely, and they have stories too. And I just really want to say I'm a member of a lot of different organizations, American Legion, VFW, DAV. But the one that I feel most at home at is the FRA.
And you don't have to be a combat veteran also to be part of the FRA.
No.
And a lot of guys say, hey, I never was in combat or whatever. Well, this organization, this program has the opportunity for you to come and be part of the camaraderie without having to worry about ever having to only been in combat.
Absolutely.
And so that's very important because obviously many ships never make it into those particular zones. Or, you know, I mean, I've seen guys in the Navy serve all across the United States for years and never deployed overseas. So.
And, you know, there's people that got out, they got crosswise when they were on active duty. And they didn't get out with a fully honorable discharge. They might have got an honorable under general conditions. And we're open to that. The FRA is working toward being open to that.
So that's important also because I know I've had individuals come to me and say, hey, I got other than honorable discharge. What about this? What about that? Some programs only help those with an honorable discharge. And so it's important for those that may not have an honorable discharge to be able to look for opportunities this way also.
So both of us as former chief petty officers, we recognize that, you know, the military might be mission-driven first, but really as a senior NCO, we're people-driven as much as we are mission-driven.
Well, when I served, it was there was always a mission, whether it was on the peace side here in the United States or whether we were overseas and we had to go do a job in Iraq. But no mission is accomplished without the people. And if you don't have good people, if you don't have trained people, if you don't have people that are like-minded, that are working together to meet the same goal, the mission is nothing. And so when I was running the convoy teams here in Iraq, we found that the mission and the people were equal. They went together, and you had to be able to take care of one to take care of the other if you're going to be successful.
Yes, and every duty station I've ever had, you didn't get a choice over what kind of people you got assigned to work
with you.
That's correct. So you had to be able to work with everyone as best you could.
And be successful. Steve, we're coming down to the wire. We've got it in about 2 minutes left here. As we get down to we need to talk on how can people get involved with the FRA? Who can they call? What's the website? And, you know, just a final opportunity for maybe a phone call or whatever else, how they can get a hold of you or myself to be able to move forward with the FRA if they'd like to have more information.
Sure. The FRA website is real simple, www.fra.org. And the phone number is 1-800-FRA-1924, because this organization has been around since 1924. They're going to come up on their centennial here pretty couple of years pretty soon, and they're getting ready for that. So, if you get a hold of Rob, he can get a hold of me. We're just kind of joined at the hip on trying to keep things going for the branch in Anderson. So anything I can do to help with that, I will.
And also we want to let you know that there is an auxiliary for the FRA. If you're a family member, a daughter or a son, there's also an opportunity to serve as a family member, to serve in the community, to serve with other family members who are from the Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, and that's an opportunity to have like-mindedness there also. It's kind of like when we put together our Battlefield Expression PTSD ART program for the families. It's an opportunity to share with families and let them know that they aren't left out, that there is a program to work with them also so that they can get help or advice or information concerning their veteran and their family.
So we kind of cast a wide net with the auxiliary program. It's not just for wives. It's for husbands of female veterans, sons, brothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, sisters, wives, widows, widowers, granddaughter, grandson, grandfather, grandmother. If you have any of those relatives that served in any one of the three branches, you're welcome to come and help us achieve the mission of taking care of veterans in the community.
That's right. Once again, Warriors, thank you for being with us today. Our guest, Steve Matthews, Fleet Reserve Association West Coast Regional Vice President, Junior President. And the Veterans Museum, once again, 530-378-2280 right here in Anderson, California. And we're looking for you to help us. Give us a call, and we'll see what we can do to help you with your program and your family. You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll see you next time.
Casey.